T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Raised on the Radio! This is a classic scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Judge Reinhold is washing his car out in the driveway. This song is playing. And his sister walks up. She needs a ride to go get an abortion. All right. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that debuted today in 1982. We'll play some music from that all day long. Love that movie. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Manny Diaz is joining us today.
Come on, Coach. We love
when Coach joins us. This dude, he is the king of the recruits. He is the king of the transfer portal.
You know what? I would love to argue, but right now I have nothing. I got nothing.
Right? I mean, he is. He is.
No, can't argue with the D lineman y'all brought in on top of that 5-star safety out of Heritage, yes. He did that. De'Eric King, starting quarterback, yes. I can't get on you today. I wish I could. I can't.
So he's going to join us about 2:30 this afternoon, about 30 minutes from now, Coach Manny Diaz. Obviously, all of us that are ACC fans, SEC fans as well, you know, waiting to hear what's going to happen, but it looks like they're forging ahead. And we'll see what he has to say. And now we know also Heat and Pacers, that's going to be your playoff matchup. I have to tell you, I love Jimmy Butler. And I restated my love for him when he came out with the Hall & Oates commercial because, you know, I love Hall & Oates so much. Jimmy Butler last night, did you watch the Chris Paul, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler kerfuffle?
Yes, I did.
That's a stand-up dude right there. Like Jimmy Butler saw Duncan Robinson get disrespected by the annoying Chris Paul, and he's an annoying dude.
Yeah.
And he put his shoulder down and said, "Don't disrespect my guy," essentially.
Oh, yeah. I think more when I watched it, it created more hate for Chris Paul. I don't know if I'm working the wrong way, but boy, I cannot stand Chris Paul.
I can't stand him either. I don't even think that he does. Like, he gets a lot of money for those State Farm commercials.
He's terrible.
I'm turned off to State Farm because of those commercials because he's so unlikable.
I wish that deer would have ran at him when he was in the garage. Damn, dropping bowling balls. Go hit Chris Paul with them big-ass antlers.
This is strange, annoying. Dude, because Manny Diaz is going to join us this hour and we want to do 15 minutes of Heat, and I was off yesterday, so we have a lot of stuff to get to. Let's get headlines here real quick from Alejandro Solana.
So much to get to. It's hard to do quick headlines, but we will start with the Heat. They did lose 116-115 to OKC yesterday, basically in the second half. None of the starters played. It was a big game for Tyler Hero. The Heat are locked in at either the 4 or the 5 seed, but they're going to play Indiana regardless, and because of these unusual circumstances, doesn't really matter if they're 4 or 5.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, because there's no home court advantage.
Right. They play Indiana tomorrow. Winner locks up the 4 seed. I don't know who's going to play tomorrow. I don't expect the Heat to take that game too seriously. Jay Crowder, he kind of bruised his knee yesterday.
Too. I'm a big fan of that guy.
Yeah, his three-point percentage through the roof since leaving Memphis, coming to Miami. He did bruise his knee yesterday, but sources are saying he will be ready for the playoffs.
All right, very good.
Yep,
South Florida's second favorite Crowder.
There we go.
The Marlins beat Toronto 14-11 yesterday in extras. They split the two-game series with the Blue Jays. They begin a three-game homestand, guys.
Yeah,
a three-game homestand.
They've been on the road 23 days. That's unbelievable.
Damn.
It's unbelievable.
You get divorced before they come back in town.
There's marriages that have lasted shorter than their road trip, right? How long was Chris Humphrey's?
27 days. 27 days.
Oh, so close. Yeah, so close.
Just 1 minute. Oh, 1 day. That homestand tomorrow, that
23 to 27 is not 1 day. No, it's
4 days.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Woo.
We'll get our math rolling, guys. Don't win first segment.
Too early. The Dolphins,
we'll figure this thing out.
The Dolphins made some moves. They released safety Stephen Parker. He had two interceptions for the Dolphins last year and four starts. They signed defensive back Dietrich Nichols. He led the XFL with three interceptions for the Houston Roughnecks.
Let's go, XFL. Yeah. Poach that talent.
Finally, guys, today is National Filet Mignon Day.
Oh. Ah, I love a good filet.
I can ride with this day.
I love a good filet. Well done with some ketchup, petite filet.
Well done.
Stop.
So good.
Bro,
stop. So
medium.
Good.
Bro, Pittsburgh medium.
Oh, you got Pittsburgh Jim Fravola's medium. Heart. Oh, Jim Fravola's goodness. Heart with a Pittsburgh medium.
That's my man Jim. We had us a Pittsburgh medium together.
That's right.
When we were in Vegas.
That's right.
Yes,
dude
sir.
Knows how to order a steak. That is correct.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Back in my day, we'd go to the Orange Bowl, urine would drip on us, and we were healthy.
Hawk and Crowder.
Another song from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Led Zeppelin, banger. All right.
This is a song.
Not going to waste Manny Diaz's time, though, although I do want to get a take on Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but not today. Sometimes I have to have a conversation with myself.
Yes.
Not today, Hawkman. Not today, body. We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes football team. And as I said earlier today, king of recruiting, king of the transfer portal, even coming off a bad season. And there's some people, I know some, that are not being very productive during the pandemic. Manny Diaz is getting stuff done, man. And we have more stuff to celebrate as Canes fans than any college football team. So, but I guess we have to start it. Thank you for making time for us, Coach, by the way.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
We have to start here, obviously, the big question. So we know the Pac-12, the Big Ten, they have postponed the fall football season for their conferences. The ACC, from everything we know, seems to be moving ahead. What is the latest you've heard from the conference and the university?
Well, I mean, everything is so fluid, right? I mean, I think what we've heard is probably the same thing that you've heard. We don't take it as, you know, we're ready for takeoff. We just take it as we haven't been shut down yet, you know, and it's our responsibility with everybody in this program to repay the trust and faith that our league has, or more importantly, that our administration here on campus has, that, you know, these guys have done all the right things since they've been on campus starting June 15th. But it is a relentless fight because, you know, as we know, the virus, it just doesn't go away. So you've got to battle it with your actions every day.
And, Coach, I've been around a lot of great coaches, you know, from Charlie Strong's, the Zooks, to Mike Nolan's, to just some great coaches like yourself, Coach. I've told you before, I love your defense. But y'all are scheduled people, man. Y'all are scheduled to the T. What is it like with the COVID? Like, are you accelerating your installations, your playbook installations, your conditioning? Like, are you changing your approach to the season with really not knowing when the season's starting? I know we have some preliminary dates, but what's your off-season approach and how has it changed since COVID hit?
It's been changing every day. You're right. I mean, obviously, football programs are built on routine and schedule, and everything this year has gone out the window. So, you know, we had Zoom meetings in the springtime and in the summer, and you only get so much out of that. But one thing that was advantageous, unique to other years, they gave us 2 weeks of walkthroughs before we started training camp last week, and that at least let us get back. We were able to use the indoor, everybody keep masks on, but that at least able to get back and you know, and not in a full speed tempo, at least start to go through the install. So you had one crack of the install, because remember, we lost 11 out of 15 spring practice days. So just from that setting of just going slow before you even put the helmet on and things ramp up to full speed, let alone the shoulder pads, that those 2 weeks did help us out. But we told our players yesterday was our sixth practice, which means it was our 10th practice of the year 2020. Normally it should have been our 21st practice, you know? So look, I mean, we you know, you're not going to get that time back. So what we told our players is we can't miss a day. You know, we simply just cannot miss a day. We can't take a day for granted. We can't take a day off or, you know, not give it our full attention. And so far for the first week, they've really responded.
Coach Manny Diaz is with us. Crowder mentioned, you know, the tentative schedule. It's less than a month that you're supposed to host UAB at Hard Rock, right? The first game, which will be the only out-of-conference game on the schedule.
Yeah.
In your heart of hearts, Coach, do you think this game happens as scheduled?
Yeah, I do. I do because, you know, what has happened, you know, in the last, you know, several days is, from our standpoint, at least we somewhat have a say in it, right? And what I mean by that is that if our guys continue to do the right things, be smart not only when they're in the building, when they're at practice, but when they're not in the building, you know, and if we keep our numbers where they've been, then we will have the opportunity to play a football season. And I just think what's cool is that at least they've been given the chance. You know, let's see if they can do it right. And they've heard all the narratives about when the students are coming back and this and that and the other. But, you know, we do live in Miami. You know, a college town might be different. Some of those college towns double in population when the students show up. But, you know, we've been in Miami. And to be honest, you know, we've all seen the numbers of Dade and Broward County, you know, through June and through July. And luckily, those numbers are now trending in a positive direction. But while those numbers were not in a good direction, our numbers were in a good direction. So, but it doesn't matter. You know, it is you're only as good as your next test. And our guys are well aware of that.
You say we have a say in it, and I understand what you're saying there. If we follow the protocols, if you're safe and follow social distancing, your say is that you're being careful and you're not going to contract the virus. Just out of curiosity, how much input do you personally have with the university and the conference as to whether you guys play? We know coaches want to coach, players want to play, but is it truly a conference I guess university president decision, or do you have a voice at the table?
We're not even at the table. We're not even at the kids' table. We're not even invited to the gathering. You know, and that's okay. And I'll be honest, that's the way it should be. No, this starts with the university presidents. And look, it's in conjunction with the regular student body. You know, again, here at University of Miami, our president, Dr. Frank, believes, and again, I don't know how we can question his opinion being an expert in the field, but he believes that we can create an environment on campus that's safe just for the general student body to come continue their education. And then to that end, the same thing on this side of campus athletically. Now what has happened is that the coaches can provide feedback in terms of, you know, how, so for example, we've had, you know, people from our medical campus come watch us practice, some come see the changes that we've done to our, you know, the alterations we've done to the way that we would normally practice. And then we did a study, you know, because, how much close contact do football players, I think there's a notion, and Channing, you can remember this, I mean, there's a notion that football players end up in a 22-man pile after every play, and that's just not true. You know, we took our couple of spring practices, and we did a study of how many times the players were actually within a 6-foot bubble of another player, and then how many players that was. There's really not that many guys. As crazy as it sounds, you know, football is a game played with 22 people, but over a large field. And, you know, the right defensive end is probably going to only encounter the left tackle, maybe the left guard, a tight end. You know, and I'm talking about in terms of extended time of close contact. So one person is probably only going to have close contact with 5 or 6 people through the course of a practice. And that's not me guessing. We did studies on that, and that's what the data shows. So you have, in a weird way, you know, we talked about the word bubble. You've got all these little bubbles, you know. Wide receivers don't hang out with offensive linemen during practice. They're not together, you know. And so, you know, you can isolate these sort of bubbles. It's just no different than we're isolating all of ourselves when we're not in a football setting.
Yeah, Coach, that was good. Actually, I was going to ask that because the stuff I love, you know, the stuff the linebackers love, inside run, tackle drills, you know, D-line, O-line, one-on-ones, 11-on-11 to the ground. Y'all are doing all the physical side. The physicality is not lowered because of the distancing is what you're saying.
Yeah, you can't prevent ball, okay? But the question is, so you remember, you heard it. Everyone said, how long does a football play last? 4 to 6 seconds, right? Yeah. 4 to 6 seconds. And, you know, back when you're playing linebacker, well, yeah, there's going to be an inside run. They're going to run inside zone. They're going to run through a gap and either thud up on a running back or, you know, when we get to scrimmaging, tackle a guy. But you know what? They're also going to throw double slants or they're going to throw a hitch to the boundary. You're going to chase the ball, but you're actually on that play. You're not even going to come within close contact of anybody on that play. Well, how many plays do you get in the course of a game? How many plays do you get in the course of a practice? Right? So in a practice, you know, if you're generally getting, you know, 30-some-odd plays a team, it's not hard to do the math. You know, you go 4 to 6 seconds and multiply that by 20 to 30, 40 at the most snaps, you know, if you're counting all the types of things that are going on. And you're not – now, again, backside the close contact's not the same as, you know, two people just walking by each other. I acknowledge that. But the who is coming in contact and the duration, it does matter. And I think it helped allow us to see exactly what was going on and our players to see exactly what was going on.
Now, would you, in the study, would you have counted when a tight end was blowing past Crowder, but he was there for like a half a second as he was blowing past him? Would that be considered close contact, or he's blowing past him so fast it doesn't matter?
I slapped his thigh, Coach. Coach, I slapped his thigh. I slowed him down.
It would have been for a half second, right, which the CDC says that's a blow-by, so you don't have to worry about catching coronavirus on a blow-by.
Coach, I can only say that because I'm at my house in Boca and he's at his house in Davie. If we were in the studio together, I never would have said that line. Manny Diaz is with us, head coach of the University of Miami. Without naming any names, have you had any team players or coaches on your staff express to you, privately maybe, that they would prefer not to play in the fall?
We have, trying to get your question right, we have not. We certainly have had players and we've worked through some concerns and we're always constantly, as everyone's learning more and more, we've tried to take the position of over-communicating and trying to be as transparent as we can with everything through this process, because again, we're you know, there's no precedent for this, right? There's no playbook on, oh, how do you handle this? It's never happened before. But so there's certainly some guys that have expressed some concerns, you know, that we're working through and trying to get the right experts that can sometimes address those concerns, because again, those aren't answers that I can give. You know, I coach football, and so what we have been consistent on is just rely on the experts.
And, Coach, we've talked to you in the past about guys leaving early, you know, the guys coming out to the draft in a normal season. But now Gregory Rousseau, he opted out of the season. He's probably going to be a top 10, top 15 pick. Did you have the same conversation with Gregory that you've had with guys that are coming out early during a normal year?
We certainly had conversations. It's obviously a little bit different than the guys coming out just from a time clock standpoint in the year. But we understood Greg's, you know, where he was at and what, you know, what was out there for him and those type of things. And Greg Rousseau's a hard guy to be mad at because he's such a good person. I think everybody in the program is rooting for him going forward.
Yeah, we had that was the day of I can't remember who committed to UM that day, and we started the show and we were celebrating,
big
and then
tackle.
We got the and then we got the Gregory Lawrence. Rousseau news. And you got it as you were doing the press conference. And I remember, like, we had this highs and lows of one day. But like you say, I mean, you want what's best for your athletes. So you as a coach, sure, you want that guy out on the field, but you had to feel good for him because you know he's a first-round pick.
That's the whole point. I mean, that's what – and it's unfortunate at times. And maybe there's people like this, but there – The notion that the coaches are somehow not for the players and them maximizing their potential is crazy. This is what we live for. You know, how much more fun can it be to look at a guy like Greg Rousseau, you know, coming up at Champagnat, you know, and remember him as a lanky, skinny guy playing wide receiver and going to watch his spring game. And you know what I mean? Like, it's so cool when you see these guys from, when they're 15, 16 years old, and then eventually, you know, you get them in and get a chance to develop them and, you know, to have them, you know, potentially be first round draft choices, like you say. I mean, that's super rewarding.
Crowder and I, we were at a Canes basketball game last season, and Gregory Rousseau walked in, sat in front of us, and I can't imagine him ever being a skinny, lanky guy, because Crowder elbowed me. He's like, look at that dude, man.
Coach, he looked back at me. I looked at the ground. I didn't even want to kick. I didn't want to make eye contact. I didn't want to upset him.
That's so funny.
Manny Diaz is with us. Let's talk a little before we let you go here on football. Football that we'll see. De'Aaron King, you're watching him. I know Canes fans like me, we are beyond excited for De'Aaron King. Are you seeing something special?
Yeah, I'm beyond excited too. Derek can, you know, you guys know I've been following Miami Hurricane football for a long time, and his ability to hurt people with his arm and his legs is, you know, there's been so many great players that have come through this place, but really I think our fans have a chance to see something unique this fall that we just haven't seen a guy with that type of ability here at UM. And I'm not trying to compare him to some of the greats, but just the style of play of what he can do. Very, very dangerous to the defense. You know, his legs, but also with his arm, his accuracy is really, really, he's a problem. So it's been fun to watch him practice. But the cool thing is that for as fun as it is to watch his ability, just again, a great young man, a person who I think has quickly earned the respect of everybody in the locker room, the trust, which is so important in that position of everybody in the locker room, and somebody that the team can rally around.
And coach, one last thing. I know that I know how y'all coaches are. You have to do the game planning. You got to do the preparation, but you're also recruiting, man. James Williams, who is it? Leonard Taylor, bro. Great players. I've watched them. I played against James. I don't know. I coach in high school, coach, and I coached against James. He is a monster. Coach, how is this pandemic affecting recruiting? Because I'm assuming there's no weekends. There's no recruiting weekends where you come and watch a game and stay because there's no fans. Like, you're killing recruiting during this time. What's adjusted right now with this new football season, this new window? How are you still getting these great players and not being able to go out there, talk to them, be in their living rooms like normal?
Well, when we were shut down with the pandemic during lockdown, you know, I mean, there was a lot of opportunities for Zoom and some things like that. We just had to adjust. And, you know, I just give the credit to the staff. And we've got a great personal staff of the offensive coaches, defense coaches. I think our recruiting prowess as a staff is definitely upgraded. Our recruiting staff has done a phenomenal job. And, you know, with some of these people, you know, I can't get into the specific names, but some of these, you know, people you're speaking of, you know, again, one of the cool things about having some continuity here is that these are some relationships that have been formed since these kids were in ninth grade, you know, so we've known these kids and these families for a long time. And so, you know, coaches, you know, you've heard you were recruited. You've heard the story about, you know, can you trust us and we're going to be there for you? Well, guess what? 2020 really put that out there. You know, I mean, you've got the pandemic, you've got the social injustice, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of things going on and, you know, the proof is in the pudding, you know, and the players in the locker room will let, you know, they'll let the recruits know. So we understand we're a long way away from signing day, and they don't hand out, you know, any recruiting awards on, you know, August, whatever today is. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I it's a process, and I'm proud of our staff and where they're going. They're working really, really hard, and I think we are seeing some of the results of that.
But coach, about a week ago, you signed Leonard Taylor, one of the top recruits in the nation. Do you get a shot? Do you eat an extra big steak? You get a T-bone? Like, does Manny do anything that night when you get Leonard Taylor to commit to UM?
Well, again, I can't speak of any player, but what I will tell you is that on the day you're speaking of, I think we practiced and we went to practice, and then we after practice we went and watched film and while we're eating in our socially distant meeting room. So. So I don't know that there was a, you know, there's
no celebration.
There was a celebration. You know,
I'm not gonna say we're not happy with the way things are going, but again, we're busy working.
No, we're excited, man. Coach Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, and again, they should open the season in less than a month. When you look down on your phone during the day and there's a text from Blake James or a call from Julio Frank, or does your heart skip a beat? You go, oh, no, I don't want to take this one.
Let me tell you, this offseason, you know, and again, I'm so thankful to have, you know, such a great you know, whether it's Blake or Dr. Franks, there's great people to work with. But Jen Strawley, I've probably spoken more to them this year. I mean, it's just been every day there's something, right? It's been relentless, but they have done everything they could to put our players in the best position to succeed. And, you know, look, it's not our guys' fault that they're in college while all this is going on. And you don't want them to look back and say, man, you know, my college experience was really hampered by, you know, 2020. You know, it's different, right? There's some things we can't control, but what we can control, we got to make sure that they have the best possible experience. And hopefully we're still we're working towards that. And hopefully 2020 ends a lot better than it started.
Oh, man, from your mouth to God's ears. Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. All right, I got to ask you on the way out. I know you're busy. But today, on this day in 1982, Fast Times at Ridgemont High was released. I say this is one of the top 10 comedies, top 10 80s movies of all time. What says Coach Diaz?
Oh, boy. On the list thing, yeah. I mean, it's got to be in the top 10, you know.
Thank you.
Classic, you know, just classic lines. And I'll double down on the Led Zeppelin. You let in the segment with them. That's a pretty solid tune. So
there we go.
Memories of riding around in the Honda Accord, listening to 103.5 She or whatever it was. You know, so back in the day.
She's only rock and roll. Yeah, man. Manny Diaz, thank you for making time for us, Coach. We know you're busy. We appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great day.
There you go, Coach Manny Diaz. I was the question that I really was, you know, crossing my fingers on the answer. Do you, in your heart of hearts, believe you'll open the season less than a month from now, hosting UAB? He said, yeah. Like, he didn't seem to hesitate on it. I hope he's right.
Oh no, and he seems like, and I was watching him. He seems like they're getting the message out to the players. He seems like he has confidence in his players.
Yes.
And that's one thing we saw with Clemson. We saw it with Louisville, where the players didn't seem to take it as serious. I got the confidence from Manny in that call, Hawk, that he knows his players and he believes in his players doing the right thing, and that's encouraging.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Finally, IKEA has shared its recipe to make its Swedish meatballs at home.
Really?
Hawk and Crowder.
The most recognizable song from Fast Times. This is Phoebe Cates getting out of the swimming pool. Don't ruin it. Don't say anything. Just give me a second. How do I mute this? Just give me a second.
Just picture my my face on Phoebe Cates' body.
Yeah, our dude Wilson, who does all the Photoshops, man. He Photoshopped Solana's face on Phoebe Cates getting out of the pool. I'm like, you literally have just ruined my life. I've used that image since 1982. It is forever ruined.
Come on, man.
All right, let me give everybody the stock market report here. Market's still open for another minute or so, but it'll end somewhere around here. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 72 points right now. S&P 500 down 6 points. NASDAQ up 28 points. So a mixed day on Wall Street. Not too much change. So there you go. Market officially closes in 40 seconds. I read something before we get to headlines. I read something yesterday. I was off yesterday, so the day before, on Bleacher Report about Minka Fitzpatrick. Did you read that at all?
No. What'd they say?
So they did a really in-depth story on Minka, and he went into the Dolphins situation. And so I just have the Dolphins situation here that I wanted to read to you, just because I found it interesting how that all transpired. It says, he can be as good a player as anybody who's ever played the position, Nick Saban says. Fitzpatrick put himself into this position to be special. It isn't by accident. He does not intend to waste it. Initially, he was thrilled. He knew Brian Flores had played a major role in holding an electric offense to 3 points in the Super Bowl. Playing for a defensive mastermind who had learned from the ultimate mastermind up in New England sounded perfect. So when Fitzpatrick, a 2018 first-round pick out of Alabama, was told in April 2019, 2 months after Flores was hired, what his new role would be, he suppressed all concerns. He wanted this to work. He bought in for 4 months. Even though they have me in the wrong spot and other players know they have me in the wrong spot, Fitzpatrick says. Even though I disagree with the coaches, I'm still going to follow their lead. Flores had Fitzpatrick playing the Patrick Chung role in his scheme, which Fitzpatrick believed completely misused his gifts. Oh, he was perfectly fine with moving around. As a rookie, Fitzpatrick had shifted from outside corner to nickel to free safety to strong safety to even 20-some snaps at linebacker. But now Flores wanted him to play all strong safety and all linebacker, where he could not use his athleticism or his mind. He felt as though Flores had no clue who he was as a player and didn't care to find out. Fitzpatrick wasn't working on his hips and breaks in one-on-one drills against receivers in practice anymore. No, he was now, quote, taking on pulling guards and tackles. It was messing up my skill set, Fitzpatrick said. I was working the hand-fighting drills against the tight ends and working on hitting the bags and stuff like that. That's fine and dandy, but it wasn't my skill set. He needed to play away from that muck, play where he's more general than infantry, back deep at free safety. He can lurk and plot and attack, fuse his mind and his 4.4 speed into a dangerous combination. Finally, in August, Fitzpatrick confronted Brian Flores about it. Nothing too serious yet. He just asked if he could get some coverage reps in to show the staff, the new staff, what he was capable of. Maybe seeing his athleticism in person would change their minds. Right? Wrong. The trial lasted all of one practice, Fitzpatrick said, and he was given barely any coverage work at all. That's when Fitzpatrick decided he'd had enough. He admits he went rogue. He wanted coaches to see it, even though they were refusing to. So he up and left those hand-to-hand combat drills and jogged across the field to one-on-ones. They were frustrated at me for doing that, but I was like, I'm not trying to sit here and punch a bag all day, Fitzpatrick said. Everything came to a head week one when, after a flurry of 11th-hour transactions, the Dolphins actually did throw Fitzpatrick back at deep center, even though he hadn't practiced there at all. Even worse, Fitzpatrick was communicating with players he literally did not know. Players signed days prior to the game on Sunday. It didn't go well. It was my first time ever seeing them, Fitzpatrick said. I didn't even know half their names while I'm out there with them on the field with them. In the middle of the game, I'm trying to communicate with somebody, and he's looking at me like I have no clue what I'm talking about. We went out and got embarrassed, to the tune of allowing 643 yards and 31 first downs in the 59-10 loss to the Ravens. Fitzpatrick went to Flores again afterward, and this chat was more intense. He asked for a trade. Flores tried to convince Fitzpatrick that he needed to be a cornerstone for this organization, but to Fitzpatrick, there was no way he could be that franchise player if he was so pigeonholed, so uncomfortable, so misunderstood. We had a difference of opinion in my skill set and what he thought I could do and what I thought I could do, Fitzpatrick said. It was going to get tough for me to show something to somebody that they were choosing not to see. They didn't give me the opportunity to show it, even though I had film that showed it. The losing and all that stuff, I wasn't put in the right position, and we're losing because of the decisions people made upstairs. It is what it is. I can only control how I play. That didn't affect me at all. It was just a fact I was being used the wrong way, and we had a difference of opinion, myself and the head coach. And it says here the Dolphins declined to make Brian Flores available for the story, and then on September 26th, they traded him. Interesting, though, how that all transpired, right?
Oh, very interesting. And as I read that, it was enlightening to me that after I read it. But I think on both sides there's some fault. Like Patrick Chung is 5'11", 220-plus. He can get in the box. Minka's 6'1", 205, and y'all have seen him, bro. He's built like a volleyball player. He's not made to be down there with them big boys. But on Minka's side, too, with his quotes, I was getting upset with him because I do like Minka Fitzpatrick. I think he's a hell of a playmaker. Bro, learn how to take on a block. Keep your ass in the drills to go and play the run. You have to play the run sooner or later. Don't go over the passing because that's what you're good at. Go learn how to – and this is my thing with Brian Flores and how great defensive coaches, how they think. Minka, we know you can cover. We saw you at Alabama. You're a great free safety. If we need to move you back to free safety, we can. We want to make you more comfortable in the box so you can do more on our defense. But it seemed like the whole time they were trying to develop Minka's skill set at playing in the box, blitzing, covering tight ends, doing more than just playing middle of the field safety. He was bitching the whole time, complaining. And I remember, was it complaining to his mom, who ended up saying something to Omar Kelly? Like, both sides of this are kind of flawed, but I guess I'm gonna fault on the side of Brian Flores, because I don't see how a guy leaves a drill that he's not good at because he's not good at it. The reason it's called a drill, Minka, is because you need to work at it, not leave and go over where you're comfortable playing middle of the field safety. Faults on both sides, but Minka got to me a little bit as you were reading. I'm not gonna lie.
It's always interesting, though. You see how a change in head coaching or a change in coordinators can really throw everything off. Like, that stuff can't be overstated. When you talk about somebody having played for different, you know, however many different offensive coordinators, if you want to talk about Ryan Tannehill when he was down there, like, yeah, they come in and they don't care what the past administration, the past coordinator had seen. They want to implement it the way they see it fit. And if you don't buy into it, it just doesn't go anywhere.
But, Hawk, do you practice coming in and out of break?
No.
But because you know how, you're good at it. You're great right. at it. Like, you've been right. doing this for 20-something years. You practice things that you're not good at. That's why Minka, for him to say, for the quote that you said where he got fed up with doing these run-fit drills, the reason you drill is to get better, man. Like, that, come on, bro. This, he was sensitive, and I've talked to people since he left. He is a very, like, sensitive dude. He was very high-strung, a high-strung individual. And he's great at freestyle. Bro, he's a Pro Bowler. Like, we can't take anything away from Minka. He is Pro Bowler, Hawk. But listen to that story. I have not heard that story. Listen to that story, man. That makes me feel a certain way about Minka. You going to leave a drill because you don't like what's going on in the drill. Probably because you're getting your ass whooped because you don't know how to take on a blocker. And Brian Flores wanted you to learn how to take on a blocker, Minka. You know what? If I was in the locker room, I could have settled this in 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Get your little ass out there and go hit that big old fat boy come around the corner. How about that?
Meet me at the Gator. Let's get a quick look at headlines with Alejandro Solana, because we still have a lot to get to this hour and next hour. We're running out of time rapidly here. I don't know how. I feel like we just got started. Headlines, Solana?
Somehow, the best story of the day just broke. The Seahawks, they cut rookie corner Kima Sivrind for attempting to bring a guest to training camp. Now, here's where the story gets interesting, fellas. Mm-hmm. He, quote, disguised a woman in Seahawks apparel in order to get her into the team hotel.
It's really amazing.
The team uncovered the plot on video and cut Sivrind.
I'd get that guy in a heartbeat. Go sign that guy. That's creativity right there.
First problem is his name is Kimon Sivrind and not Richard Sherman. Because we...
Yeah, we know how that had played out. Yeah,
we overlook it.
Can we get your lady friend a drink? If it was Richard Sherman,
new acquisition, Rich. Do we need to put her under contract?
Like, right. Where do we see her playing, Richard?
Nickel corner. Yeah, man. But this happens. This happens all the time. I caught guys in the parking lot in a very funny situation during camp sometimes with their little booties out in the air. Like, bro. The one thing that this COVID and all this, I understand what's going on. These are still men, and these are still young men, and these are still young rich men. Just think about that.
Was he a first-round pick, did you say?
I don't know if he was a first-round pick.
Oh,
I don't believe he was.
That wouldn't happen. Yeah,
I was going to tell you. I don't know where he got chosen, but he is not. They don't owe him any money for them to cut him that fast. They can't owe him money.
The Miami Dolphins, guys, this is a pretty cool story. The Miami Dolphins, they announced today they're going to honor the late, great Don Shula on their jerseys this upcoming season. They'll have a patch that says Shula 347, the number 347, just under Shula, of course, commemorating his 347 all-time victories as a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, awesome move by them. And usually you see those game patches or jersey patches, and it's, you know, initials. It's fairly small. I mean, I saw the picture. I mean, it is written out, Shula. And if anybody earned that on the Dolphins jersey, it is him.
I love the thought, but I just looked it up. Severin got a total of $2,000 from the Seattle Seahawks after going undrafted and have a $2,000 signing bonus that he will keep after his release.
I will say that based on his judgment in trying to sneak her in Seahawks gear. He does not have any of that $2,000 left.
Hell, she probably charged him more than that $2,000 to come up to the hotel.
He spent $600 on gear.
He's upside down in his NFL career. He owes the woman more money than he's made.
Great.
The Miami Heat, they lost last night 116-115 to Oklahoma City. Pretty irrelevant second half for the Heat. They benched their entire starting lineup. They'll play Indiana in the first round of the NBA playoffs, not before they play Indiana tomorrow, the final seeding game, which doesn't mean much for the Heat or Indiana. They're both slotted in the 4-5 slot. They'll play either Monday or Tuesday, first round of the NBA playoffs.
Okie dokie.
The Marlins, they'll play the Braves tomorrow. Finally back at Marlins Park, guys, after 23 days on the road.
Crazy, man. Great game last night. They had a huge lead, gave it all up, ended up winning in the 10th inning. It was what a crazy game.
Right now, a little Champions League update as we move to soccer. Atletico Madrid, they're playing Red Bulls Leipzig. They're tied 0-0. And Inter Miami, they officially announced the signing of Frenchman Blaise Matuidi.
Yeah, blase, blase.
Hey, huh?
We're going to have to figure out how French of an accent Chris Whittingham is going to pronounce his name. Like, how much French he's going to put into that accent.
No, I can't wait to hear Crowder's French accent, because I'm pretty sure it's going to end up sounding like Goran Dragic buying a suit.
Matuidi, this four yep. suits exactly. for the price of six suits.
Exactly what I thought.
Novak Djokovic, he is committed to playing in the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open was pushed back to August 31st in New York City. Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal, both out. The first time since like 2000 that neither of those guys are going to play in a major. Finally, guys, Ben and Jerry suggests the secret to avoiding freezer burn is to store your ice cream upside down in the freezer.
Ooh. Wow, that's a game changer if that's true.
Yeah, it might
be. I mean,
be.
You can buy some ice cream. That ruins the thing. You open it up, it's got freezer burn.
But then the freezer burn's just on the bottom, right?
But you never get there.
You don't eat the whole carton of ice cream?
I'm just saying, if you had a choice where you want the freezer burn, you'd rather have it on the bottom than the top.
Come on, man. Everybody knows you stop freezer burn. You got to breathe. You got to...
No, I'm with you. That'll get the crystals away, but the flavor of the crystals is still there. I've done that a million times. Yeah, you got to salvage that ice cream, man. You got a craving, you got a craving. All right, anything else, Solana?
Yeah, let's move to weather right now in South Florida. Partly cloudy still, 90 degrees. A nice sunny day. Luckily for us, no precipitation, it looks like, for at least the next 120 minutes. Probability of precipitation is down at 20%, guys.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all from the Weatherplex. Over to you, Eric Reed.
By the Token Boo for three.
All right.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time.
Hawk and Crowder.
5 o'clock hour on Hawkman and Crowder is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
Yes.
Love ourselves some Funky Buddha.
Funky Buddha is my mistress, man. I just, my wife goes to sleep and I sneak into the refrigerator. Like Funky, like Hop Gun and Chant IPA, they're my mistress. I love them both.
I'll give a cheers to Manny Diaz for making time for us today. I mean, yeah. They're busy right now, right? I mean, I'm not just talking college football. Well, I guess Big Ten and Pac-12 coaches aren't very busy, but college football coaches, NFL coaches, like, they're busy. They sit down, talk with us for 15 or 20 minutes. It's solid of him to do that. So,
oh, yeah.
Appreciate talking to him. He's always very good to us. So 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour. We still have a lot of stuff to get to. This is the most shocking thing today. I love the fact that Manny Diaz says he absolutely expects to play that season opener against UAB. I'm down with it. The most shocking revelation, though, today is something that I just saw on Twitter during the commercial break. and I texted it to you and Solana, and now he's got the sound of it. We've had, you know, myriad radio interviews in the years that we've been doing the show together, and there's always things that, you know, shock us. Someone will say something, and we're like, what? Hey, Aronde Gadsden owning a monkey. Yeah. We didn't know that. It was a shocking admission. We just had this one is as shocking as anything I've ever heard on the radio. It didn't happen on our show. It happened on Tobin and Leroy on 790 The Ticket during their morning show today. They had Marlins outfielder Corey Dickerson on. Listen to this sound. This is unbelievable to me. Corey Dickerson, they're asking him if he likes ketchup, and then you get an admission that just blew me away.
Can we get a ruling on this from you? Have you ever had ketchup chips?
I have not. I hate ketchup.
Oh, come on!
Yeah. I'm like the pickiest person you'd ever meet.
But you just straight up hate ketchup?
Ketchup, mayonnaise, almost any condiment. I've never had a hamburger or a hot dog.
What?
Yeah, what?
I don't eat bread.
Hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
That seems impossible for a baseball player to never have a hamburger or a hot dog.
Hey, I struggled in the minor leagues. I was eating granola bar, fruit, just to make it. I was going to starve to death.
Were you traumatized as a child? Like, that's such a
– I'm telling you. Yeah, actually. Shoot, I just hate the texture of bread. And I mean, it's weird. I like pizza. Like, I'll eat a biscuit or something like that. But, like, any kind of loaf of bread, no chance.
That is so bizarre to me. Bread is, like, the go-to, right? You love at the restaurant, they bring the bread out quickly, and you start eating the bread. Like bread can keep a kid occupied for a half hour. Oh, here, eat this roll. Oh, they're all over the roll. To not like bread from the point you're at a kid, to never have had a hamburger or hot dog, blown away.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be like a preacher's daughter though. Once he breaks the mold though, he's gonna go crazy.
That dude is gonna be eating hamburgers and hot dogs for the rest of his. And obviously, he's a very fit guy. If you don't eat a lot of bread, you're gonna be fit. But that's Corey Dickerson, Marlins outfielder, never had a hamburger or hot dog, and that was on Tobin and Leroy this morning on 790 The Ticket. That's crazy.
Hawk, I don't want to do this to this young man, but I don't believe him. Never.
I believe him because he was so adamant about it, but I do always take that stuff with a grain of salt because when we used to do the show with Zach Krantz, he told us he didn't like cheese. Yeah. And he was adamant about it. I don't like cheese. And you and I would look at him and we'd be like, it's not adding up, but whatever, okay. And then it'd be like, well, do you like pizza? Oh, yeah, I like pizza. You like macaroni and cheese? Yeah, I like macaroni and cheese. Like nachos and cheese? Yeah, I like nachos and cheese. And the more we dug, the more we found out that he likes just, cheese on everything.
Yeah, he just doesn't eat cheese popsicles, but who does?
Right. Like, I don't know where he came up with that he doesn't like cheese because he's a big fan of cheese. But I believe Corey Dickerson there. Like, to say you've never had a hamburger or hot dog, you have to be, I think, like, you'd have to be just a flat-out liar.
Yeah.
To say that. Like, that's a pretty shocking admission.
And if it's health, like health-wise, like I've been around some of the most healthiest, you know, health-conscious guys ever. Zach Thomas is number one in my book. He had, like, prepared meals six times a day.
What about Cam Wake? Remember Cam Wake?
Cam Wake was one of those guys. But, like, even their stringent, you know, health plans, bro, you grabbed a hamburger when you were 11. Like, 12, 13. I understand. Like in your pro career, I can see you doing it.
It seems almost impossible not to.
That's why I don't believe him, Hawk. You hit it on the head. It seems impossible for me to me for you to live for 20 plus years and never eat a hamburger hot dog. Like you don't control. Could your son, living with you, Hawk, and I know you, could your son have ever gone his whole life without eating a hamburger hot dog? He lives with you.
No,
he couldn't.
Impossible.
Yeah, I don't know, big homie. I got a question.
That was Tobin and Leroy, and they're on the mornings on 790 The Ticket. But I found that to be absolutely fascinating.
Leroy catches me on my golf cart fishing all the time, and he holds up traffic to talk to me about just random topics. Like, there was 12 cars behind him. Me and him are on the side of the road talking about Cam Newton going to New England. And the people are honking. Leroy doesn't give a damn, man. Leroy is on his own. He's in his own world, bro. I love Leroy.
That is Randy Moeller when he lived in the neighborhood next to me here in Boca. And he would catch me bike riding. He would stop right there on St. Andrews, and we'd be talking and, and Moeller doesn't care if you're honking at him. He'll throw the gloves down if you want. He don't care. He's looking for a fight.
I was telling the people, go around. Like, I'm giving them a little hand motion. Leroy doesn't give a damn what's going on. Yeah, man, he's going to fit in that offense pretty well. I'm like, damn, Leroy, I don't know if we can have this conversation right now.
All right, 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour. Let's get our headlines here quickly from Alejandro Solana.
Yeah, let me catch Leroy holding up traffic in Kendall, see what's going to happen, man.
Get your ass whooped.
Another person just sent us a World Star link on the a bunch of people have been texting us that Crowder is on World Star today.
For peeing on myself or something new?
I don't know. Did you get in a fight?
I checked the World Star story and their IG, and I don't see you. So I don't know if this is a new story or if it's just making the rounds on Reddit or something. But
I'm looking at the link that someone sent me, but I can't find Crowder yet. But I'll look here. Go ahead. Give us the headlines.
Miami Heat.
Was it when you were talking with Leroy? Someone yell out World Star?
World Star. Now, if Leroy would have jumped out the car and we even started fighting on the side of the road, now we got action.
World Star.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I would say my suggestion to everyone is don't get chlamydia.
Hawk and Crowder.
It's Figgy.
Cinema. J. Fig knows it.
Hey, guys. I didn't know you guys were there. Caught me by surprise.
Watch one that we assign her and generally hate it, and it sends us all into a depression for at least a segment or two.
I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Like, it has, like, real-life situations and stuff, but I felt like the ending should have been in the middle.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
I don't know. I was kind of irritated the entire time.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Biggie Fresh.
The f***ing Catalina wine mixer.
I really want to give it like a 9.5 out of 10.
And it sends us all into a depression.
Show me the money.
He's looking at you, kid.
I'll be back.
We'll see you at the movies. Ah, the best song on the Fast Times soundtrack for the last segment today. I love it. Old Jimmy Buffett. I don't know. I don't know if I'm high or I'm low. I don't know. Crank it up.
So if you're high.
How could you know?
Look at their eyes. It's all in the eyes, Hawk. It's all in the eyes.
It's all in the eyes. Crank it up for a sec, Salon. What a great jam this is.
Dancing.
You could see Spicoli stumbling out of the VW bus. Smoke coming out. Too gnarly a day for the classroom, man. This is the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour. Everybody crack open that Funky Buddha. Dono is here too. Dono, you're doing the morning show tomorrow on 560 The Joe.
Yes, I'll be in for Joe Rose. I'm with Zach Krantz tomorrow, 6 to 10.
All right, well, go light on the Funky Buddha tonight because you got to get up very early.
Well, I'm going to go heavy now so I can get it out of the way early.
Hey, go heavy. Great show. Great show when you're hungover, man. Go heavy.
Did you ever do do mornings, Crowder?
Yes. When I first got on radio, yep, I would do 2 days with Sid Rosenberg in the afternoon and then 2 days with Joe in the morning for a couple months.
How did you enjoy that?
It was cool. I was just happy to be in radio, so the 4 a.m. wake up didn't kill me. But
really? That didn't bother you?
No, because I was just like, I just retired. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just happy to have another thing to do. But 10 years in, yeah, man, that 4 a.m. wake up, I couldn't do it every day. We've talked about it, bro. If they asked us to move, they asked us to move to mornings, we'd have to really have a sit down.
Yeah, yeah. That tore me up, man. I never got into a schedule. Jay Figg, of course, is here as well. You heard the big open. Jen Figueroa gives us a searing pain movie review. Hello, Jay Figg.
Hello. I don't know about you, but my alarm clock rings at 3:15 a.m. for those shifts.
It's painful, right? It's
so painful.
Doesn't matter what time you go to bed. It's painful.
Yep.
Like what time you're gonna be in the morning show tomorrow with Dono?
Correct. Yeah.
What time are you gonna wake up tonight? 3:15.
3:15.
So what time are you gonna go to bed?
I don't know. Depending on what time I finish the movie, you guys are about to.
Oh, that's right. You're gonna have to do a movie.
It's gonna be a rough
one.
It's gonna be so rough.
Yeah, this is gonna be tough. All right,
young man, you young. Y'all don't need no sleep. You a puppy.
I need sleep.
I mean, is she young though? She's 27.
That's young.
All right.
For a woman that doesn't do drugs, that's young. She's like 11.
Because Solana's younger than her, right? Solana's really? The youngster on the show,
yeah.
Right? You're 26?
Yeah. Got a lot of life to live, everybody.
Solana
does
drugs.
He plays a lot of tennis, too, though. So.
Yeah, he does have a lot of life to live. All right. And Dan Day's here. We have no idea if he's the youngest or the oldest on the show. We have no idea.
I've lived a lot of life. Lived a lot
He's
of life.
Lived a lot of life.
He
that
has.
Is so true. As Crowder has lived, Dan Day, I think, rivals him.
Dan, can we get a 7-year range on your age? Just can you give us something?
Should I open up the Hard Hock Casino and see if we can come within 10 years? Tomorrow we open up the Hard Hock Casino. All right, so let's. Yesterday I was not on the show. I had the day off, but it looks here, according to my notes, like Crowder, you gave her Carrie. Is that correct?
Yes.
The horror movie?
Yeah, we did horror yesterday.
Who gave her The Exorcist?
Me.
All right, Donald gave you The Exorcist. I'm guessing Solana gave you Invictus.
Yep.
And Dan Day, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. What movie did you watch last night?
I watched Carrie, the original Carrie.
Now, do you like horror movies? You like being scared?
I'm obsessed with it, but it's very hard for people to scare me.
Okay. All right. And now Carrie's an all-time classic horror film. Like, this is, to me, like Carrie, The Exorcist, Donno. Like, these are, you know, Rosemary's Baby. Anybody remember that one?
Yeah.
I mean, these are, like, really scary movies. So what did you think of Carrie?
I mean, I had already seen the remake, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't consider it a horror film though, and also the intention behind the movie, it's also not considered horror.
What?
I read online that it was not supposed to be a horror film.
Was it a comedy, JP?
Yeah. What was it?
A musical?
It's a rom-com.
No, I'd say it's a thriller, if anything.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Stop, that's so mean.
What was it?
They're all going to laugh at you.
Was it a stand-up comedy? It was like a Eddie Murphy Raw or Carrie?
I think so.
I don't know. All right.
Carrie live from Sunset Strip.
You can see her official review, the full official review on her Instagram account, which is JFig Radio, letter J F I G Radio, JFig Radio. How many mozzarella sticks did you give Carrie?
Gave
the original.
7.5 out of 10.
7.5 mozzarella sticks. All right. She was not scared by it. She does not consider it to be a horror movie.
I mean, are you supposed to be scared of it? Like, what's scary, though?
I mean, it's a legendary scary movie.
Crazy little white girl.
It's literally a legendary.
Look, I think her mom was the most scary there.
All right. I don't know what to do with that, but this is our movie expert, so you have to lay in the bed you made, and this
Carrie's
is the bed we made.
It is a rom-com.
All right. So today we've been celebrating all day long Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was released on this day in 1982, and it's honestly one of my favorite movies of all time. You watched it, Fig, right? It was assigned to you early on when we started doing this segment. What'd you give it? Do you remember?
Let's see. I think it's like on the top of my notes. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you gave it like an 8 or 9. Wow.
No.
Man.
I mean, you've been celebrating it every single day. So.
Oh, I mean, it is one of my favorite movies. So, Dan Day, you're the only one that agrees with me on Fast Times?
I can't believe it. That's a treat movie. That's like, you earned the right to watch that movie.
Yes!
I love
Great.
Fast Times, too.
Oh, you like it too, Dono?
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding me?
Right, a classic. Like, it's not even up. Like, I don't get it. But then Crowder considers it a horror movie. And so, everybody's way off on this.
He considers Dirty Dancing also a horror film.
He scares more easily than J. Fig.
Hey-oh. All right, so Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So we're going to give you movies to watch tonight. Obviously, you have to go to bed very early because you're doing the morning show. I was going to stick with the Fast Times theme and go with Phoebe Cates, who you know is one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. Have you watched Gremlins? I know we've given it to you before.
I have not watched it yet, no.
All right, now there you can see Phoebe Cates as the girl next door. She's so cute and adorable in that movie. And Gremlins is a great movie. Am I wrong?
Oh, right. Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's good.
Yeah, that was a.
The CGI though, like, does it hold
up? Is it a
horror?
I don't know.
Yeah. You have to let us know, J. Fig, because I'm questioning Gremlins holding up with.
I don't
the
think I've
special
when
effect.
That come out. You think in the '90s, Gremlins?
Oh, like 1990.
It
yeah,
came
early
out
'90s.
No,
it
was the '80s.
'84.
84.
Yeah,
remember, 84?
Wow. Remember we talked about
Gremlins
it.
Gremlins came out in 84?
I had the Gremlin costume for Halloween. Remember those old 80s costumes? Yeah. It was just a garbage bag that said Gremlins and it had the mask on.
That's
and he was 30.
So great. I love those.
Dan was 30.
It's 1984. He just turned 30. Or 3. I don't know.
Or 3. We don't know. We'll find out in the Hard Hock Casino. All right, well, I'm going to give you Gremlins. It really is a classic movie. I'm so surprised you've never seen it. Gremlins. What are you going to give her tonight, Crowder?
We talked about it earlier. J-Fig, yes. I'm going to give you this until you watch it, so just get ready, because I'm going to give you this day after day. You got to watch Bebe's Kids.
Say that one more time. You kind of cut off.
Bebe's Kids. B-E-B-E. B-E-B-E. Bebe's Kids.
We don't die.
We multiply. What? You ever heard of Bebe's Kids? You ever seen Bebe's Kids, Dono?
No, I've never heard of it.
Really? Yeah, we were talking about because Robin Harris – he was in Do the Right Thing. I just happened to mention it as an aside today. And he's started, like, Robin Harris from Bebe's Kids?
Yes. It started as a punchline in his stand-ups where he talked about a girl that had these badass kids. And he did it so much, they end up making a movie about the badass kids. And
I think,
it's one of my favorites.
Didn't they make a cartoon as well, like a weekly cartoon show called Bebe's Kids?
Yes, they did. When you got to take the cussing out of it and the terrible stuff, I don't think it had legs, but the movie's
amazing. For a brief period of time, if you saw little kids acting up in the mall or whatever, like you would say, those are Bebe's Kids.
Yeah, your teacher used to call you that in class sometimes when you acted up.
Really?
Yeah.
that's going to age you a little bit, too.
What decade was this, Dan?
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to do their research on Dan Day.
Dan, who was your favorite president? I just want to know.
Millard Fillmore.
Don't knock Rutherford B. Hayes.
Millard Fillmore. What a great quick line. All right, Dono, what are you going to give J. Fig to watch tonight?
All right, I'm really trying to look out
for J. Fig. How many presidents do you think J. Fig could name, Solana?
Not much. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Four.
You don't need to do research on that one.
Four with help.
Over under.
Four, two of them Bush. Right?
Now, I know you want to get to bed as early as possible tonight, so I'm really going to do you a solid and suggest a short movie, 95-minute running time. So I hope you haven't seen this already. I watched this a couple months ago on HBO Max, tremendous platform. I meant to recommend it a while back. but I don't know why I never did. It kind of borderlines on the horror genre. A woman marries a rich guy in a weird, eccentric family, and things turn into kind of a horror show. Have you ever seen Ready or Not?
No.
I don't think I've seen that. I've never heard of that.
It only came out last year, so it's a new movie.
Oh,
I watched it a couple. I watched it a couple months ago with my wife. It's called Ready or Not.
Who's in it?
Never seen this actually.
I don't know
anybody
if I've heard of these people. Samara Weaving, Adam Brody, Mark O'Brien.
No, never heard of them.
Samara looks like Margot Robbie.
B actors, maybe B actors. Dono.
So what's it called again?
It's called Ready or Not.
All right. And stars Millard Fillmore. Oh, all right.
You want to give me that HBO Max password?
Solana, what are you going to give J. Fig for tonight?
J. Fig, I know how much you like action movies. I know you've
here
also.
He goes again.
Good Lord.
No, I mean, I know you've also, you've dabbled in the mob movies as well. A movie just came out on Netflix about a year ago. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. Need I say more?
No.
I don't know why he's laughing.
Because he knows you have to go to bed early, and he's going to give you the longest
like a 3-hour movie
Netflix has ever made.
I wouldn't doubt it. That's the thing.
I love when Solana takes it to this level. Perfect.
Again, De Niro, Pacino, Joe Pesci.
Yeah, we heard you.
I can't stress it enough. You have to watch
this movie.
Why don't
you give her the Godfather
movie.
Trilogy?
No, please.
All three of them. The 9.5 hours.
And being Irish, this movie means a lot to me. Yeah. The Irishman.
All right, there you go. He was thinking of giving you every Police Academy movie tonight. There's only 11, but there you go. The Irishman. You're not going to watch that tonight. It's 3.5 hours. Dan Day, what are you going to give J. Fig for tonight?
I am going to give you a movie that's set back in my time. My all-time favorite Civil War
movie.
Wait,
let me take note of this. Let me take note. Hold on.
This is my favorite Civil War movie of all time. Denzel. Wonderful in this. I want you to see Glory.
Oh, Glory.
Glory.
Right. Excellent
Glory
movie.
Movie.
That
Dan,
is yeah. excellent
That's 89. Movie. That's 89.
Dan, you fought at Gettysburg?
I wouldn't say
all right,
fought.
So the movies we have given J. Fig for tonight, and you can find her on Instagram, J. Fig Radio. She always posts her movie reviews, and she did her own little version of WAP the other day, and that everybody seemed to love your moves there, Figgy. So check her out on Instagram, JFig Radio. I tonight have given her Gremlins with Phoebe Cates from 1984. Crowder has given you Bebe's Kids, Robin Harris. Dono, pass. We don't know what the hell Dono gave her.
Good movie, Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
She'll be
I
in
mean,
bed
no one,
by
no one listening. No one listening has ever heard of the movie or seen it.
I've seen it.
No,
did you
no
like it, Crowder? Did you like it?
It was interesting. It's crazy, but interesting.
Solana gave you The Irishman, and Dan Day gave you Glory. All right. Are you ready to accept your challenge, J. Fig?
Ready.
All right. Well, then there's nothing left for us to say other than we'll see you. At the movies. Yeah, listen to Dono tomorrow on 560 The Joe. He's doing the morning show with Zach Krantz, and J. Fig will be there producing as well. And we will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a little strange because the Heat play at 4 o'clock, which means if you want to hear me and Crowder, we're only going to be on 790 The Ticket for about 45 minutes, and then the Heat pregame show will take over, and you'll be able to hear the remainder of the show on 560 WQAM. If you missed our interview today with Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, I highly recommend you listen to it on the radio.com app or on the podcast. He was excellent as always. Clay Ferrero, 15 minutes of Heat with us. Safed Dean broke down everything Tua Tagovailoa had to say today when he met with the media. So loaded potato of a program. Follow J. Fig on Instagram, J. Fig Radio. Thank you, Figgy.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, left butt.
Bye, right butt.
Bye, pickle. What was that
meat
thing?
Pickle.
Meat pickle. Meat pickle. So many different cute nicknames. All right, that'll do it for us. We will speak with you mañana.
Dan, did you go to school with Clint Eastwood?
There's two people on the planet that don't like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Solana and Crowder. Oh,
no. Solana and black people.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need to need, 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 need.
That's all, folks.
You need to need, need, need.
Oh, no.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.